Blog Talk Radio.
Where there is fire, there is smoke. And in that smoke, from this day forward, my people will crouch and conspire and plot and plan for the inevitable day of man's downfall, the day when he finally and self-destructively turns his weapons against his own kind, the day of the writing in the sky, when your cities lie buried under radioactive rubble, when the sea is a dead sea and the land is a wasteland, out of which I will lead my people from their captivity, and we shall build our own cities in which there will be no place for humans except to serve our ends. And we shall found our own armies, our own religion, our own dynasty. And that day is upon you now!
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, when you hear that intro, you're not hallucinating. That is the Afro Nerd intro, but this is the Grindhouse mashup. We made a promise, and we try to keep our promises. We made a promise that at the top of each month, we would have a show where the Comic Shop and Afro Nerd Radio, the lines are essentially blurred, where we have the uncanny Daryl B. sit in to discuss other things beyond the comic verse. So that's exactly what we intend to do. It's going to be a fun-packed, fiery, informative program, and we have to get to a groove. We're going to play, of course, a mixture of nerdcore and urban alternative, so we're going to do the damn thing. By the way, the call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Call us, join in on the fun. It'll be a blast. Let's go to a quick groove. This is something new and special. This is the legendary hip-hop act De La Soul, performing an homage to Jay Dilla. This is called Dilla Plugged In. Check it out. We'll be right back. And again, let's groove.
Are we on the air?
Uh-huh.
Are we on the air?
Uh-huh. Yes, you are.
Hello, Ma.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a new beat on the request line.
Okay, you got it. Coming up. Hey yo, answering any altered service, prerogative, praise, positively, I'ma quit it. Enemies publicly shame my utility, but after the battle, they're missing, I'm with it. Simply sue, well moved, vinyl like groove, transistor star, never more shown with light. When vocal flow brings it all down in ruins, it's dying with the sound of Dilla, we call it plug tune.
Are we on the air?
We in the D tonight, y'all.
Are we on the air?
We live with Dilla tonight.
Are we on the air?
Yo. Shout out to my dude.
Hello, Ma.
Ayo, gaze at the sight of a method. Dive beneath the depth of a never-ending verse. Gasping and swallowing every last letter. Vocalized liquid holds the quench of your thirst. Reasons for the rhythm is the cause is unknown. Different individuals are dazzled by the showbiz. Auditions are gathered, but the soul would just rather hold a count at three and leave it as it is. Flow to the sway of my do-re. Me, I'm a fixed lunatic to a hawk. Words are sensitive vents of all humans, then converted to a phrase called talk. musical notes will send the new motto. Every last poem is recited at noon. The focus is set. Let your Polaroids click as we capture the essence of Dilla with this plug tune.
Are we on the air?
We in the D tonight, y'all.
Are we on the air?
We here for Dilla tonight.
Are we on the air?
Yo, show love, it's my dude.
Hello, Mom.
Flowing in style with a new style. Barrels all cleaned and loaded for salute. Chances of a choice standing steady like my mouthpiece. Paragraph preacher, now introduced. Drums are heard sounding off in each and every person. Vocal confetti is thrown at top stage. Roses and violets on proper. For throwing, for showing appreciation. Why? This is the daisy age. Hands won't sweat cause there's no threat. Micro stage dry while places so used. Rhymes aren't fables, but stable to be on time. Cause they market tit and label speaker pasta new. The stitch will fit with every consumer. Microphone use and sales will start blooming. Profit and cause can never be lost. All due to the sound of Dilla. We call it plug tune.
Are we on the air?
We in the D tonight.
Are we on the air?
We here with Dilla tonight, y'all.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, salute my deuce.
Hello, Ma. Are we on the air?
We in the D tonight.
Are we on the air?
We reppin' Dilla tonight, y'all.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, and put it up for my deuce.
Hello, Ma.
We get down. We get down tonight. We get down.
Ah, yes. Dilla plugged in De La Soul, giving you the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, psychedelic soul, and progressive hip-hop. This is the Grindhouse mashup, folks. Don't you forget it. And without further ado, let's get to my own, our own, your own podcast enterprise crew. First up, we have the captain, the indefatigable one. Captain, your time is now. Let's get to it. You're needed on the bridge and engineering and the ready room. How will he do it? Let's get to it.
Winter Soldier, let's go.
Yeah, we have, what, less than 30 days?
Yes, sir.
Please, let's get it going. And stop showing previews, Marv. We're going into 10-minute previews and crapola. Anyway, the uncanny Daryl B., I believe he's coming up.
Contrast Transformers, you show too much. Captain America, we can never get enough of, but Transformers... Thank you. I got the illness from 2 coming back to me now.
Yeah, I liked what I saw, but yeah, you know what? Maybe because of Mark Wahlberg's involvement, it might actually pull me in to see this thing. I think I saw maybe the first 2 and became disinterested at some point. But now, I don't know. It looked interesting, I will confess. We will see. We will see. But like you said, They've got to figure out a way to calibrate what they're deciding to put out there as a trailer. I mean, there's such a desperation to get people to see these films, but you can show too much, and it just, I mean, come on. Pull it back, folks. All right, gentlemen, we have a lot to get into. Let's keep it real simple, real tight. The first thing that I noticed that I think we did not discuss is the Flash costume. We saw the actual head dress or the mask, and I liked it, but you know how some geeks are. The nerd community geek, I mean, for the most part, they were very positive about this, but you had your naysayers too. They brought up Captain America's costume. I saw pictures of Daredevil, Ben Affleck as Daredevil. They were kind of making that connection. Daryl, with your own reasoning ability, what did you think about, what's the actor's name, Grant Gustin, I think his name is?
Yep.
What are your thoughts about this costume? Well, the top of it, that's all we saw was the head.
It's simple. It's just a costume. Jeez. Some guy's got to get a life. And I mean that seriously. Look, if you saw the shows of Arrow where he was in, okay, he gave you a great personality. He was engaging. That is not his series, though, okay? You got to wait for the actual series to come down, all right? And for some people to condemn the whole project on just a side headshot of a costume, just you're the ones that give us all bad names. That's all I'll say. Wait until the episode comes out. Wait until the pilot comes out. But no, like Cap always says, we're always in a rush. We got to be the first one out there with our opinions. All right. Well, guess what? If you did this back in the early 90s with the John Wesley Shipp side headshot of that, you would have said, oh, my God, this looks great. And then when the series was over, you would have been halfway like, I was entertained, but at times it looked cheesy, but that's why you have to wait for an actual product to be made. But no, go ahead. Go and overreact. That's okay, you know. It's simple put. But when you overreact like this, like some have, and then people stereotype you, you can't come back and complain about being stereotyped because you're acting exactly like the stereotype. Back to you, Afrinern.
Yeah, you know, I did not dislike the – I mean, I thought it was a flash. I mean, first of all, I'm happy that we actually have the guy in some kind of headdress, some kind of mask, because we saw the Smallville era. It could have easily gone that way where he's wearing a hood or he's wearing – jeans, you know, jeans and color-coded clothing that would be reminiscent of the costume, but not the costume. So they could have gone in so many different ways. So at least they're sticking pretty close to the cuff, where you know that's the Flash's uniform in some way. I agree with you on this, Daryl. With many geeks and nerds, they're so hard line with the source material. And listen, I talk about the source material. People might say, oh, well, what are you talking about? We hear you on the mic every week. This is true. Reference it. There's got to be some reference to it. But when it comes down to what's written, bringing what's written on the page to a real-life fiction, there's got to be some changes. There's got to be some plausible changes. That's all I have to say. But I think the costume is going to be fine. We didn't see the remainder of the costume. But that particular headdress, that looks like the Flash. And I didn't see Captain America there. Someone said, oh, it's Captain America. I mean, these guys are really, like Daryl said, they do need to get a life. It's a bit much now. So, and also, folks, again, just to let you know, this is the mashup. So we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of things. After this, I want to talk about the Harlem Hellfighters comic book. That's going to be very interesting. Anyway, the Captain, you're up next. What are your thoughts, Cap?
Well, you have to understand something. When you give your opinions, because when you're on a show such as this, you're more accountable for your actions. Social media allows you to throw your rock, throws the rock, and hide your hand. It has a tendency to do that. So a lot of cowards come out. And if you actually stuck a mic in these people's faces, they wouldn't say what they say a lot of times. So you get these what they would say nowadays, ratchet opinions. Because they could throw the rock and hide their hand. Now, my personal opinion is that, just as the great Daryl B said, it's nothing but a costume. It looks fine. Let's see what happens in the series. That's it. The costume, what they showed there, looked fine. Let's go. That's all. Nothing more to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah. You know, we will have to see ultimately when this thing comes out. So far, if we're going to look at it from incrementally, in progression, so far so good. So far so good to me. All right, next up, I want to talk about this book I found out about recently. I dig the artist. The artist is Kanan White, and that name may be familiar to our audience, because he's a man of color who has been connected to another book that I like called Uber, as in Uber Mensch. This is Uber. It's a book about World War II and metas in World War II, and it's kind of like an arms race involving folks with powers. You know, the UK, in this instance, we haven't seen the Americans yet, but the Brits, the Germans, and the Russians, and how all three
are essentially trying to harvest super beings to fight for their respective countries. So that's Uber, and that's Kanan White that's drawing that. So now he's also behind a new book, which is really a historical one. It's an actual story of the Harlem Hellfighters, and these are black soldiers dating back to World War I and World War II. I guess one you might think that they would be precursors to the Tuskegee Airmen in some way, but it's a fascinating story. I already put a pre-order for it at Amazon, and I would advise our listenership to do the same thing. Support this guy. And incidentally, Harlem Hellfighters has been green-lighted for a movie. So, again, we're talking about World War I specifically, a little bit of World War II. From New York, mind you. These are, well, Harlem. New York soldiers of African-American and of Puerto Rican descent. So, and also, it's something else to note, too. Quite a few notables came out of this regiment. We have Bill Bojangles Robinson. You know him. We had the recent passing of Shirley Temple Black. That was his dance partner. But, you know, Bill Bojangles Robinson, you know him just for being a phenomenal dancer during the Harlem Renaissance period. Benjamin O. Davis Sr., first African-American general. He was part of this team. But I just find it just fascinating that we're having not only is it a graphic novel is coming out with this depiction of black men as soldiers, that's beyond, you know, Tuskegee Airmen I have great admiration and pride for. But there's another story. There's so many stories that have not been told, and this is in graphic novel form. And, again, kudos to Mr. White because – you know, we have a film coming out of this. Darryl, were you aware of this Harlem Hellfighters comic book or graphic novel?
Well, no, I wasn't aware of the graphic novel. I was aware of the story, all right? And many times when I say on air that we have a lot of tales that are there that are ripe to be told and everything, where we don't have to go back to the same old tales, you know, every time we get into Hollywood – it's stuff like this that I'm referring back to. Just because, look, whether you love us or hate us as a people, we make up the foundation of not only this country but the world in intrinsic ways. Okay, and there's plenty of those stories that can't be told. All we need is an opportunity to tell them. All right. Harlem Hellfighters were essentially the Tuskegee Airmen before the Tuskegee Airmen, all right? This was Miracle at St. Anna's, all right, what these guys were. This was a lasting legacy, you know? But again, it's one of those things that, Hollywood doesn't want to take a chance on, all right? And or previously Hollywood didn't want to take a chance on, and B, stuff that let's just face it, our generation, this generation that's following us, this generation coming up, that a lot of them are ignorant as to their own personal history, all right? And I'm speaking quite bluntly about that. This is something, it's sort of like, and we're going to get to a sports topic later on in the show, but I remember a poll that happened, I want to say a year ago when they announced the 42 movie was in production, right? And they asked ball players of black descent what they thought about Jackie Robinson, and 15% of the African-American black ball players they asked said, I don't really know about Jackie Robinson. That's an outrage. Right there, that stopped in black athletic circles. That stopped everybody. By result, hey, American history. If you bring up Harlem Hellfighters, kids today are looking at you like, who? Is that like the Globetrotters? This is yet another part of history where, hey, you know what? You should know this, kids. You really should know this. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, let me read a little bit from Wikipedia. And again, you know, we know that Wikipedia's information can be dubious at points, but I think this might be actually accurate. And also, I'm hearing that I think Mr. Smith, Will Smith, is behind this. I think he might have purchased the rights to it, or he has some integral part in the movie promulgation or movie making element of this. Of this endeavor, so kudos to him. Listen, a big name like that attached to it, that might also be instrumental in its success, in its ultimate success. So I hope that part of it is true. Just quickly, it says here, the 369th Infantry Regiment, formerly the 15th New York National Guard Regiment, was an infantry regiment of the United States Army that saw action in World War I and World War II. The 369th Infantry is known for being the first African-American and Puerto Rican regiment to serve with the American Expeditionary Force during World War I. The regiment was nicknamed the Harlem Hellfighters and the Black Rattlers, in addition to several other nicknames. One of those nicknames they gave themselves, which was Men of Bronze. So that's pretty cool within itself, even from a comic Afro-nerdic perspective, because we know who the Man of Bronze is in pulp fiction lore, but this is pretty cool. So I'm definitely excited. I can't wait for this book to come out. I think it's coming out at the top of April, like I guess almost around the same time that. Do yourself a favor, pick up this book, pre-order it. It's already at Amazon. Support this cat. And again, that's part of the of what makes this show important. Not only highlighting this stuff, and people have been emailing us. And rightfully so, saying that we need to really focus and highlight on more African-American comic book stories, graphic novel stories. I want the word out so we can support these things, so we can support the balance. I might have mentioned this on a show, maybe I think last show. We need to see slavery pictures. We need to see pictures like that. But it can't be the whole story. You've got to have everything showing the full circle. So for every one slavery film, maybe there should be 3 to 5 other films that are not slavery inspired or slavery as a theme, just to balance things out. So I'm looking forward to this. Captain, what are your thoughts about this?
Be careful, Afro nerd. Be careful. Reason why I say be careful. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. We wish for other lanes, just as you said, pertaining to. You need to see slavery pictures, and you need to have these pictures, but you also need to have different stories going simultaneously, not every other year, but simultaneously. It's very necessary. But also be careful what you wish for, because sometimes the powers that be, when they start to put out these stories, they corrupt the file. And you know what happens when you have a corrupt file on your computer? It starts to not function correctly. So we just have to be a little bit careful, you know, but it seems like there's a little change going on in the atmosphere, in the newer sphere of the powers that be. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Bouncing around a little bit, I want to talk about some of – well, you know what? Let's get into – I'm going to bounce around. We never actually spoke about the last episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, we've go in and out. On this show, on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, here at AfroNerd / the Comic Shop, we talk about this thing that it's a pale imitation of a Marvel movie, that it's not really steeped in enough Marvel lore for a fan's satisfaction. A lot of criticism, I'd say a lot of it is somewhat valid based on what we've seen thus far, but. To be fair to Mr. Whedon, I think he even alluded to this, is that you got to give it time. As what they say in Psych, the comic drama or the comic, what am I trying to say? What is it exactly? It's a comedy, but it's also a mystery-solving device. Wait for it. So maybe... What is this, 13 episodes in, Daryl?
Yeah,
I believe so. Maybe this is what the deal is that we had to wait for some of this comic book Marvel lore to seep in. Because as I thought about this, the reality is this. Disney paid, what, $4 or $5 billion to Marvel for 5,000-plus properties, intellectual properties. Now that I think about it, it was a bad deal. It was a lousy deal. Because they only got a couple of properties, and they're already in the billions already. And we're talking about 5,000 that they can mine from. But if they have that many properties, they have no alternative but to go to some comic book references to fill this TV series out. You have Deathlok. You have Sif is coming through. You have Lorelei. Lorelei is the Enchantress's sister. So all these ancillary characters have to be touched upon. What better way to do that but for S.H.I.E.L.D. to touch on some of the stuff? So, Daryl, I go to you once again. What are your thoughts about this latest episode? Aliens, all kinds of stuff is going down. What are your thoughts?
Okay, and you're going that direction. I'm going the other direction. This is what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, all right? If you guys didn't pay attention to the Paxton character, Mr. Garrett, in the blog and everything, I mentioned, you know what, go out and grab the Secret Avengers run that kicked off the Secret Avengers series I'd say 2009 it kicked off. Go take a look at that first run of Secret Avengers and the name Secret Society and with Moon Knight, with Nova, with that, and you'll see Garrett there, and also Hickman's Secret Warriors. Go like, and there you have AIM and Hydra, and the name John Garrett, that agent, he's connected. The only other agent they could have mentioned on this with more connections would have been Agent Wu, who's with the agents of Atlas. You know, that essentially they just introduced a turnstone character in this last episode that could be the gateway to introducing over half of the Marvel Universe. That's A. B, we see it all the time with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics that there's factions in S.H.I.E.L.D. that are doing stuff that other parts of S.H.I.E.L.D. don't know about, a.k.a. Tahiti. I told people, when you looked at that machine in the flashbacks of Coulson, when you looked at that machine, it should look awfully familiar. If you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, if you're an AIM fan, to a certain big-headed guy that floats in the chair, the thing that was used to create him, you know? And you got a little of that. And you're getting the intrigue, and they're starting to build upon it. Like I told people, all right, that been hating on the show, I said it's going to take time. Because if you came out right away and gave them the superpowered fights and gave them, oh, here's this guest character, here's this guest character, here's this guest character, and you didn't build up the main cast that you need to revolve this around, then it would be a whole lot of flash and substance. But nothing, a whole lot of flash, but no substance. See Smallville, years 4 through 7. You know, you would have had that type of situation. We should be happy right now. Because this is more substance between this show and Arrow that we've gotten on television for quite a while when it comes to comic book and fantasy lore. I will say it like that. And start paying attention to the show. You may not like every episode, but I guarantee from this point on, you will get references that will make you want to ask your nerdy, your geeky, your Marvel friends, okay, they brought this up. Has this been in the comic book before? Do you have this issue? Can I see this? You know, this piqued my interest. That's what they want. Because now with all of this starting to happening, you're going to have to go out and ask. And by the way, that was a well-timed trailer, the second Avengers Captain America trailer that came out showing more of the Avengers right in the middle of that. Don't tell me that Disney didn't have that plan, like, yeah, we're going to start the interest up, we're going to start this happening. So we'll show this second trailer on TV right here in the middle of this episode, and then afterwards, we're going to leak a four-minute fight scene in Captain America. We're going to just leak that out. That happens on George's Batroc ship. Yeah, this was totally planned. And you know what? They have us wrapped all around their finger right now. Let's hope the quality continues. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, you know, and it's something else, and I have to agree with everything you just stated, Daryl. I guess another thing, too, take away the fact that this is a comic book, sci-fi, fantasy, TV series. It's just the nature of things with television. Listen, we wouldn't have Seinfeld today if they didn't give that show enough time to find itself, find its footing. And, I mean, those days, for the most part, are over. But it goes to show you that show, also X-Files is another show, that X-Files didn't really start cooking until maybe season three. You know, Seinfeld's first season was infamously known for really being bad. But the way things are now, I mean, listen, the Blacklist is a rarity. And hopefully it doesn't do something in reverse, where it starts off gangbusters from the season one or season two, and then, you know, still in early seasons, it progressively gets bad. But that's one of the rare shows that you were hooked from the beginning. They came off running. But for the most part, most shows do need enough time to figure it out, or for things, for the storylines to progress. But we live in an instant coffee era. If you're not coming out hard and strong, you're going to get cut loose. But I hope that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., continues, progresses, and just gets better. It appears to be doing that. I hope they get that opportunity. And also, before I hand the mic to the captain, one main thing here is the genius of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I know Daryl would agree with me, and we've spoken about this before, but to speak more succinctly on this, the genius of S.H.I.E.L.D., how it really should work, is the S.H.I.E.L.D. should never be getting off the air. It could be a masterful linchpin between the TV world, the small screen, and the silver screen. That's how it should really be. And I suspect that Gotham coming up, we'll see, Fox's Gotham, they may attempt to do what S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing. But if it is a successful linchpin, talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., S.H.I.E.L.D. should have you, the audience, lingering and throbbing at the mouth between what happens on TV and setting you up for what happens on the big screen. And if it does that continuously, Marvel big screen films will do well, and S.H.I.E.L.D. will maintain if it keeps that constant connection. You have to look at S.H.I.E.L.D. in order to know what's going on when the movie comes up, if they're smart. And I suspect that's exactly what they're going to do. And if that's the case, S.H.I.E.L.D. could be around for 10 years or more. Hell, Smallville did it in a bad way. Captain, what are your thoughts?
See, there's a difference between being right and getting it right. There's a difference between being right and getting it right. When you're on the road to getting something right, you make mistakes in order to get it right. These are not really mistakes. That's the path you have to go to get something right. And this is what people don't understand. People who always want to be right, they tailor the narrative to be right. Now listen, the problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't what you guys mentioned. Okay, that's not the problem, dropping and touching, running, and everything else. This was the problem with S.H.I.E.L.D., and you guys just totally missed it. You totally missed it, All right? This is the problem. And I'm going to walk with me. Walk with me with this. I'm going to mention the different shows, and I'm going to show you what I mean. If you watch True Detective, great actors, great directions, great chemistry, and great casting. All right, let's move past that. We look at Sleepy Hollow. Good actors, great chemistry, great casting, and good direction. You look at Blacklist. You have a great lead actor, decent chemistry, good casting, and good direction. Now, if we look at Arrow, decent actors, decent chemistry, stories are getting better. This is why these series, from when they started, were very good. Now we go with S.H.I.E.L.D. Problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. is, in my opinion, from the very beginning, and they still have a problem to a certain extent, other than Agent Coulson, as far as I'm concerned, not good. The direction, not good. Chemistry between the individuals, not good. But that being said, because they're in the process of getting it right and not being right, a broken clock tells the right time twice a day, believe it or not. So if you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. hater, you look at this episode, you scroll through it, watch the last 10 minutes, and then you get everything that you need to get. Then next week it looks like you see a very good episode. You know why? Because they're not so concerned with being right. They're in the process of getting it right. And when you're in the process of getting it right, there's going to be mistakes on that process. These mistakes are not failures. They only become failures if you decide to stop. That's the path you have to go in order to get it right so it flows. So it looks like they're on that path. That's all. Back over to you, Seraphim Nerd.
You know, I cannot deconstruct that. And I suspect that the captain knew that I could not. When we get back, I want to just talk about another minute on S.H.I.E.L.D. as to speculating as to what that alien was. What was that, Daryl? But before we get into that, let's go to a groove. This is a combination nerdcore urban alternative groove that I played before, but this is a remix. This is Happy, Fickable Me 2 soundtrack, but this is a Happy remix, Happy rose-tinted remix by Pharrell. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove. Rose-tinted remix. I must confess, I might have been pop-locking toward that tail end of that funk breakdown. Kind of dig that funk breakdown, folks. Once again, welcome to the Grindhouse Mashup Show. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Before we took a break, I mentioned that, I mean, I guess it's not really a spoiler because, you know, it's out there. It's been a week already, folks, so, you know, give it a break. We find out more about how Coulson survived. And again, you know, this goes back to connecting to the movie. This really is a direct connection to the movie. How did he survive being stabbed by Loki? So they've been building this up. We finally see that Tahiti was an acronym. He opens up this door from this mountain lair, and you see that one of the drugs that was instrumental in him being revived was being sucked out of a dead alien. I was like, whoa. Now, the alien looked a hell of a lot like Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen. I will say that much. But that's a different, that's DC. That's Warner Brothers, so I'm going to scratch that. Daryl, with your own inimitable wisdom, what the hell was that alien? Who was that?
You know what? I'm going to go the easy route and say it was one of the Chitauri. / the Skrulls, / the aliens the Avengers fought in one with all the armor on him removed. I mean, those dead bodies had to go somewhere from the Battle of New York, right? So, hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. got a bunch of them, all right? And we already saw in a previous episode that parts of the armor are still floating around their universe. So that's the easy answer because, hey, Skrulls are shapeshifters. Their cells are attuned to reforming and replacing vital organs, or reforming and changing their ways to fit in. You know, that, and I know, that was totally insider, but, hey, folks, we've seen Skrulls. You've had to ask this question, and one of the major ones was, if those were supposed to be Skrulls on there, well, why didn't they ship-shift? Why didn't they change? You know, that was one of the major problems I saw that anybody that had a problem with Avengers had or referred to. Because they wanted, hey, it's going to be Skrulls? Well, I want Skrulls. So that's the easy answer. You want to know the hard answer to that? Wait and see. And here's the thing I was talking about. We all now just saw the revelation. We want the answers now. Let them build this up. I mean, we lasted just about, 2 years since Coulson died to find out how he would be coming back, and we still don't know all the answers to that. So, A, my first guess, it's a stripped-down Skrull. Other than that, surprise me. Jed, Marissa, surprise me. Show me what this thing is. But I still maintain that was an AIM base, folks. That was an AIM laboratory. Hence why those guys had to die that was protecting it, and why they blew it up, all right? Secret Society / AIM. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I was going to mention that also. Like, you know, how would they be able to, like, just go in there and just kind of wreak havoc and kill people as S.H.I.E.L.D. agents without there being any repercussions, unless that would make more sense to me. Because I thought that if this was a secret lair that Fury was aware of, well, first of all, you know, the fact that they'd had this secret password that they didn't know to allow them to come in there. And they just bogarted their way, like Spike Lee says the word. They just bogarted their way into this mountain lair and then killed these guys who were protecting. That part of it was a little weird for me. As far as, you know, you killing people, unless they were the enemy, how could you get away with that without there being some repercussions? We'll see. We'll see. Captain, anything else on this? Any thoughts?
Nothing more to add or to take away. Let's just see what happens. Getting it right.
All right. Let's talk about some of these trailers, actually. A lot of trailers came out last couple of days to weeks. I went bat crazy. I was going to say an expletive, but I can't do that. With Batman Arkham Knight. And I meant to send you guys this really blistering email over this Batman Arkham Knight, and Darryl knows me very well, because in his, and it'll be up at AfroNerd after the show, AfroNerd.com, with his latest blog entry, he knew I would be salivating over this trailer for this game. A couple of things. First of all, I really hope some elements in this game show up in Man of Steel 2. It better. The Batmobile is badassery. It is a combination of the tumbler. It's like a Ferrari tumbler. So they stick with that. Very cool to me. I would even want to see a movie. Forget about. I'm not a Superman guy. I'm not. The way that he talked about Batman. Flips out of that car and just starts whipping behind and then able to flip back into the car and keep it moving, forget it. They have to do that in the movie. They have to make him spectacular just to be able to keep up with the whole Kryptonian. They have to. That Batman is a threat. The one that I saw in Arkham Knight. I just hope that there are elements. Even the costume was cool. I'm going to get the game. I mean, I've been a so-so fan of the Rocksteady games, but this one was it. They got to make sure this is realized on screen. Let's go to the captain on this one. Captain, what are your thoughts about this trailer? And do you think some of this might show up on screen?
Well, I think the trailer was excellent. For those gamers out there, I think it was totally excellent. I agree with you. I think the Batmobile, that's the way to go. I liked his uniform. That's Batman's uniform. Excellent. His costume. I like his overall demeanor. His overall demeanor, which is that's very important in the trailer. That's something that they need to acquire, okay, for the movie. Just look at that. That demeanor is very important. And I think they should also go with the vehicle, definitely, you know, definitely, you know, for the movie. That's just my opinion. Now, whether these individuals do it, that's a whole other thing, you know, but I don't know. I don't know what direction these guys are going to go in. And when you start to speculate, and you start to think about it, and you think about it, they set you up for the big letdown. Some things they get right, and other things you go, what were they doing there? You know, so that's all. Back to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I had, you know, I didn't get a chance to send the email, but I was going to tell you guys that if they don't do what I say that they should do from based on that trailer, I'm going to start taking those Wakandan elixirs and go to Warner Brothers in California and start some wreck. I want what I saw in that game to be in the movie. Enough said. Darryl, your thoughts, sir?
And you won't get it in the movie because the movie isn't named Batman. It's a Man of Steel. They are not going to give Batman that many cool gadgets and cool moves to outshine the star. Remember, it's Henry Cavill's vehicle. It's his star making. It's supposed to put the S back on top. So they won't make Batman that cool. That's the conspiracy behind getting Affleck as Batman, because he can't out-cool Henry Cavill. You know, then there it goes. You can have all this dream, all right? You can have all. I'm going to do Triple H to Rob Van Dam on you. Yes, I went WWE. Yeah, yeah, you could see it right there. There's the dream of Batman that cool. Can you see it? Everybody going, ooh, ah, and snap your fingers. Wake up. It's called Man of Steel. They're not going to do that. That's why I'd rather this movie be named Justice League. Because if there's a chance for Batman to outshine Superman, it will be in a Justice League movie rather than a movie named Man of Steel. About the trailer, the only problem I have with it, and to tell you the truth, I like the second one more with the rooftop and the fighting thing like that. The only problem I have with the trailer, you both just elaborated on it. The car action scene outshined the fighting scene. That would scare me a little bit. That would scare me a little bit because mainly the car scene with him flipping out and that's a cutaway scene. The scene on the roof of the second game, you could actually do that. You could actually control Batman as a fighter and create and craft that scene and then replay it. You know, you can't craft the car scene. That's the only problem. When that's outshining the fight scene in the trailer, then guess what? You may have a problem. That's the only worry I have. But again, this just like the Flash headshot, I got to wait and see on the game. Afro-Nerd, back to you.
You know, our listenership, as always, they're of high cognition. You know, we didn't think about this, Daryl. Kavita Man said that that blue alien might be a Kree.
That makes more sense. That's true, too.
Because the Krees are blue. You got to have a Ms. Marvel connection somewhere in there. That makes more sense.
Yeah, but they haven't been introduced yet. It may get introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy, but to this point, they haven't made Earthfall yet. Remember, in Thor the Dark World, we had plenty of dark elves, but none of them stepped foot on Earth. You could, and with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you could only go with what is there, all right? And what's been on Earth before have been the Chitauri, all right? We don't know about the Kree yet. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Here comes Age of Ultron, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Here comes Guardians of the Galaxy. So that might be, if Kavita Man's right, that might be a precursor to what we're getting in Guardians of the Galaxy. It may be a stealth linking right there, but you never know. To you, Afro-Nerd.
All right, let's go to our callers, actually. 703, welcome to the Grindhouse Mashup. What are your thoughts? Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Good evening, it's Bison for Life, calling from D.C. How's it going,
Bison? How you doing, Bison?
Pretty good. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, great. A couple of things. I don't think it's the Kree because, if I'm not mistaken, the Skrulls and the Kree belong to Fox. So I don't think
No. They're firmly Marvel. They were not a part of that original Fantastic Four contract. So Kree and Skrulls are both fair game. Marvel just named the Chitauri because they didn't want to step on freaking Fox's toes. In case Fox was planning to use the Skrulls in the Fantastic Four thing. It was them giving them an olive branch, which Fox didn't want to do in terms of Quicksilver and Scarlet. But I digress. Back to you, Bice.
So you're saying that the Galactus, Silver Surfer, all like that, I thought all that was kind of wrapped into that with Fox. I'm not being obtuse. I'm just asking. Is it by name or by description that Fox owns that?
No. What they got firmly, they got Galactus, they got Silver Surfer, they got anything with the word mutant associated with it. all right? Anything with the word mutant, all right? They got Fantastic Four and most of their rogues gallery. So they got Mole Man, they got Terminus, they got, you know, they got all of those. They, of course, they got Doctor Doom. Of course, they got Magneto. You know, of course, they got Sentinels. But Kree and Skrulls are both firmly implanted in both Avengers and Fantastic Four. So they could, Marvel had the foresight to have a way out when it came to both of those. And one of the ways out was Chitauri.
Oh, okay. Hey, Deaver, getting back to the Batman, game trailer. Excellent trailer, but you know this week it's all about Titanfall. So, you know that's a small placeholder. I mean, Titanfall is going to be massive. You know, it's going to come out on Xbox One next week, and then later it's going to come out on 360. And, I mean, I'm glad this is a rock-steady game, so the graphics should be a couple of notches up, but I think that game is underperforming.
You're saying that the new Batman is going to be underperforming?
I think so. I think Titanfall is going to be massive, even though it's on a platform that's not selling as much as PlayStation 4. Titanfall's going to be big. I mean, I did the beta, like, I think maybe a couple of you have done it, a lot of people have done it, and the beta was fantastic. I mean, the beta was fantastic. I mean, I see lines at midnight for this game. Now, the Batman game would do well, but I think there's a little, the last game sort of underwhelmed a little bit. So, unless, if they don't step this one up a little bit, even though this was, I think, the last in the trilogy or whatever, it may underperform. That's the feedback I'm getting.
Well, you may have a point. I mean, the history of the Batman franchise games has been pretty impressive. But Titanfall, it is a multiplayer game, whereas this game is not. I think people were looking for this Batman game to be a multiplayer game. Since you know, that might be the linchpin, the fact that Titanfall is multiplayer. That even brings people more in, so to speak. We will see. I mean, you know, I'm probably going to end up getting both games. So they're going to get my money regardless.
I have a last thing I want to ask you, yeah. I've always been curious to ask. One, where do you guys shop for your comics? Do you go every Wednesday? And do you pull titles out of habit or – are you exploring new things? Do you go by recommendation? What pulls to get inside your pull list? I mean, what titles jump in your pull list?
Well, you're lucky this is a 2-hour show. Go ahead, Darryl, I'll let you take care of that. I'm going to mention mine too, but go ahead, Darryl. You go first.
Yeah, a couple of blogs ago, I did my mythology. I'll do it here. Okay, it used to be I had a set, like, 40 lists, you know, 40 titles I had to collect no matter what. But in the recent years, with how quality is going up and down, that has gone down to, like, there's 15 titles I must get every week. Or not every week, but every month. 15 titles I must get every month, okay? Then, with that, I look outside. I make it a habit to buy 5 to 7 books that are off the beaten path. You know, whether it be independents, whether it be buzzworthy books I see on places like Bleeding Cool, Comic Book Resources, Newsrama, Comics Alliance, or what they say, oh, this book is hot, you need to check it out. All right, I set aside some money to go ahead and check those out. And then that leaves me 20 to 30 bucks a month to pick up a couple of trades of titles I don't normally collect, but I heard the story was interesting. I'll pick it up and give it a try. As I talk to you, I'm standing above looking at my bookcase, and I have at least 500, 600 trades. And one of these days for one of my blogs, I will take a picture of my bookcases and show you that I don't just talk the funk. I actually collect this much. All right? And in addition to all of that, Donna at Superhero Comics, my usual comic shop, my friend Dave at Midtown Comics, they allowed me. They know I do this podcast. They know I love to talk and promote books as much as possible. They all allowed me 10, 20 minutes set aside to go into a corner of the shop and just take a couple of books and read them, and I'll make little notes that I could use on the blog or use on the show. Because knowing that, oh, these are buzzworthy books, you know what? I want to be informed. I may not be paying for it there, but at least I know. And then on top of all of that, I'm a literary head. I'm always at the library. If there's a new trade at the library that I haven't seen, I will go pick it up and read it. So at least, again, if it ever comes up, I know a little about what I talk about. Because one of my main rules on the show, and I told the Cap this, and I told Afronerd this, all right, is if I'm going to comment on something, if I'm going to give you my honest opinion, then I want to be informed about it. And that's the main thing. The problem with a lot of these critics and stuff are they criticize, but they don't actually look at the material they're criticizing it. They don't get familiar with it, all right? They don't – I put on a list, and Bice, you could take a look at this list too. It's on Screen Crush. This reporter ranks the Marvel movies, 1 through 27, ranks the Marvel movies. Oh, these are the modern Marvel movies, but excludes Blade. Sorry, your list is already invalid because without Blade, you don't have Spider-Man now. Without Blade, you don't have X-Men. Without Blade, you don't have the Avengers universe because that laid the groundwork. Once you got rid of Blade from your theory, you invalidated your whole list. Never mind how crappy his list is, but it's that sort of thing. The reading habits lead to the viewing habits. Afronerd?
Yeah, you know, I'm so all over the map with how I collect. I really can't even be that specific. I can tell you that I'm a collector. First of all, I collect comics, and I'm an avid reader of comics. You know, some folks have a different dog in the race when they collect comics. I collect comics from a completely pluralistic viewpoint. I love the reading. You know, the storylines, the art, and the value of comics. So just like Daryl, we frequent Superhero Comics in Floral Park, New York, shouting out Donna. That's one of a number of stores that I go to. She's my main store. But I also go to Midtown Comics. There are two Midtown Comics in New York.
Three.
Times
Square store. There's the Grand Central store. And you forget, they took over Chameleon Comics. So there's one right down there by the World Trade Center.
Oh, well, you know, but there's another one by the World Trade Center. It's on, I forgot the name of that street. But I don't think that's it, though. But there's one that's right off of Broadway. It's been there for years.
Yeah,
you know, on Maiden Lane.
No, that's the third shop. There's the third shop. And there's also the shop in FAO Swartz. And there's one more shop but they have five locations in New York.
Oh, that I didn't know. All right, I got to go back down there again. okay, so I collect also on occasion, even today, even before the broadcast, out of impatience, I will confess, out of impatience, if I can't get my hand on a book that I really want to read, I'll go to Comixology, which is blasphemous to certain retailers, but I will read a digital book. I buy books that way, and also because of the collector in me, I do a lot of buying on eBay. Because I buy almost exclusively older books, Golden Age and Silver Age books, on eBay. I cannot buy books at the Comic-Con. It doesn't make any sense because they're so high priced, and you really can't haggle with these people. online, you can haggle with people. Pardon me. So there's a number of ways that I do buy books. As to how many books I have, I can't even tell you. In the thousands, I probably have about 60,000 comics, at least. And as to why my choices in books, again, like Daryl, I'm going to blogs, I'm going to other podcasts, I'm going to newspaper. There's a whole bunch of New York Times. There's a whole bunch of ways that people, I mean, even what's the gentleman's name? John Ridley from 12 Years a Slave. I knew of him really from the comic book world before I knew of him as just being a straight author and a script writer. So sometimes there's offhanded mentions about comic books. I collect comics differently than I did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was collecting books. I had to be, Marvel and DC. I couldn't collect anything else in between. It's almost like when you were a kid and you couldn't wear Skips. Remember that, gentlemen? This whole, what the importance of what kind of sneaker you wear? Now, no one cares what your sneakers are per se, but it's not along the lines of Skips meaning authentic sneakers. Now, there's a new book out called Satellite Sam from Image. It's all about vintage television. It's a comic book about vintage television like Uncle Milty and who's the gentleman that passed, Daryl, recently? Sid Caesar. It's about that in a way. So even the comic book topics are different from me. I can be about anything topically. And Velvet is another book that's really another spy genre book that I absolutely love. So I am all over the map, and I collect comics from different ways, digitally, as well as from eBay, as well as the brick and mortar way. In answering your question, I'm all over the map.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. That's really been enlightening. I would just sometimes have to squeeze in the comic questions out there. So thank you again, and I'll be listening. Take care.
Not a problem.
Sounds good.
Like we said, we do Buzz and all of that. You gave those. I'm taking up Empire of the Dead right now, George Romero. All right? And everybody knows I collect all the Ultimate stuff, so I'm an Ultimate Spider-Man fan and all of that. But on the other side, one of the guys that reignited my fire for comic collecting was Terry Moore with Strangers in Paradise, which is not part of the big two, And his latest, Rachel Rising, is probably one of the best horror comics I've ever read that isn't a horror comic. It's sort of like that. And then on the flip side of that, anything by Alt Baltazar and Franco, the creators of Tiny Titans, they just had Little Hellboy. Now they have their all-year line of comics. Very kid-friendly, but it has enough insider references for the adults. It's like Toy Story in comic book form, And as the big two consolidate and do all of these things to piss us off, we're going to the other stuff. So that's what we try to tell comic book fans. There is something, there's no reason to say there is nothing out there for me to read, because there is loads out there for you to read, if not in print online. All you got to do is look. You can't be lazy. Afro-Nerd.
Listen, we have a lot more show to go, and I want to segue into a little bit more serious fare per se, but it's also going to be a half comic book thing, believe it or not. Lupita Nyong'o, lovely actress. She recently picked up the Golden Statue last week. Kudos to her. And I guess this is kind of a funny thing. One would think, and Daryl knows this, and also the captain, one would think that comic books fall into a what am I thinking of? I don't use the term lower tier. What's the term I'm thinking of?
Unenlightened?
Not unenlightened, but it's a category. Lowbrow. Like lowbrow. Comic books at one time were, and maybe still sort of, but it's diminishing, considered to be low. You have highbrow and lowbrow. Lowbrow entertainment. I find it interesting that as of late, when someone who is so classy and so esteemed and wins this high honor, at least to some, we had a political discussion on this last week, but let's say for the sake of this conversation, the Oscars represents the creme de la creme. Once you win the Oscar, they say, well, what superhero are you going to play? Now, isn't that funny? Isn't that fascinating that one time this lowbrow entertainment, once you win the Oscar, it then becomes the speculation as to which superhero you're going to play. We see that Jamie Foxx is Electro. We see Oscar-caliber talent portraying superheroes. The question went out about the lovely Lupita. Who could she play? Now, we'll talk about that after the break. But I'm throwing it out there. We're going to talk more about Miss Nyong'o. But that's what we're going to talk about when we get back. Going to a quick urban alternative groove. This is someone from St. Albans. Fife Dog. We haven't heard from him in a long time. A Tribe Called Quest member. This is another honorary song to the late Jay Dilla entitled Dear Dilla. Check it out. Fife. We'll be right back.
Dilla Dog. Had a dream about you, fam. It's 2005. We in the same hospital room. You on one side, I'm on the other. I'm stressed out. But what gave me motivation is you pulling out that MP and banging out some bangers as usual. Nothing ever fazed you, fam. And for that, I miss you.
I'ma see you in due time. That's my word, I'ma see you. Frontin' ass rappers down here still an issue. Posing like they hard when we know they all secret. I'ma tell you, Dilla, why they lacking skill, pal. No stage presence, cadence, style. They dipping off the hook, skinny jean crooks. Pre-K lyrics, what you wanna need a book? I reminisce, when Mob dropped shook. Shan was down by law, such a good look. Nas got fun and his return was stillmatic. Roots distortion in the static, you in slum fantastic. Thought I'd shout you out, son, see how you doing. Come back to earth, homie, hip-hop is in ruins. I'm a third of the tribe, but I'ma speak for the clique. What up, though? We miss you, kid, mother city say.
GD, flip another beat for me. GD, flip another beat for me.
Yo, beat-wise, you still at cat, which most should be measured. I'm dead MC, known as she has displeasure with the route the game is taking. How mundane things you got, you know, music on a whole. Never mind, just hip-hopping. I'm in the club 3 hours and change. DJ spinning top 4 like we be hearing all day. Some of them see the catalog, and yeah, they stay paid. But why pay over $1 when they lip syncing on stage? King of pop, very white, rolling over in their graves. Jones girls, emotions saying, girl back in our day. Still a dude, still striking. They wish to be like you. Producer extraordinary, knowing them beats be recycled. But on your worst day, they couldn't mess with you. Cats making tea in remembrance of you. Least they could do is give your fam a dime or two. This man gave his heart, this what the hunk y'all do. But yo, don't stress my ill, word bomb, we got you. Tell by 10 I said what up, word he right next to you. From NYC to the D, with heavy hearts we miss you. Word God wish you were here, so until we meet again, just
flip another beat for me, G. GD, flip another beat for me, G.
TCQ forever. Forever.
Okay, we're back once again. That was the great, mighty Fife Dog. Fife. Dear Dilla. Dear Dilla. Actually, it's from a mixtape that is comprised of quite a few numbers, quite a few cuts that are in homage of the late great producer Jay Dilla. So, Dear Dilla Fife. Still have more show, folks. This is the Grindhouse Mashup. Every top of the month, all of us get together, and we try to blur the lines between Afro Nerd Radio and the Comic Shop, where we kind of mix it up a little bit, hence the term mashup. Feel free to buzz on in if you like. Join in the conversation. 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Before the break, we were talking about the lovely Lupita Nyong'o, recent Academy Award winner for her portrayal in 12 Years a Slave. And listen, there's a lot of things to talk about her, actually. We're going to dovetail off of the comic book stuff with her. We spoke about it a little bit last week, but there's even more to unpack with this lovely actress. More political stuff, which really, to Iron Man, Mr. Starks, before the broadcast, and, you know, we just... Both of us obviously have similar sensibilities, but when it comes to skin tone discussions, we don't even really want to honor them. But it seems to be more and more about this woman, where they're talking more about her coloring. And this is black folk now, less from white folk, less from mainstream culture as to her coloring, but more internal conversation with black folks as to this woman being of African descent and dark complexed and whatever. Anyway, first and foremost, there was an article, I believe, in the Mary Sue blog, which is a female-centric geek blog that is connected to Mediaite, one of the Mediaite satellite blogs. It's called Mary Sue. And they were talking about this whole article about Nyong'o and who could she play. The thing that came to my mind, and the audience knows, it should be T'Challa's sister. She looks like T'Challa's sister. She would be perfect for that role. But there's a whole bunch of other superheroes that I didn't even really think about that people are connecting her to. Hopefully we will see this come to fruition. Because sometimes being a black actress and winning the Oscar can be your death knell also. You may not see her in anything. But right now she's young and she seems to be a media darling. So I hope that she gets all of the accolades and all of the opportunity that should go. We see Sandra Bullock, probably, 15 years her senior. Well, we know what that is, but she can't stop getting Oscar-caliber material. So we'll see how that happens, but I'm just opening it up. Let's open it up to the captain. Who do you foresee, you know, in dreamland? Who do you think she could play? I mean, there's a lot of names coming out.
This is how it works, all right? Let me tell you how it works. Let's not pigeonhole the young lady. Hollywood comes down and says, I need you to play this superhero, and that superhero happens to be white, I should say superheroine, or villainous. Could be a villainous. She, because she's hot at this given time, she just won the Oscar, they fit her in. So I'm not going to go with the one who she could play and who she couldn't play. That's pigeonholing her at this given point. The sky's the limit as long as the powers that be decide that the sky's the limit. And right now, that just might be the case. And some of these choices, some of the people, some of the geeks, some of the nerds might say, oh, she doesn't quite fit that character. She, how they make her play. Oh, she's white or she's this. Don't be surprised if that what happens, because Hollywood likes to play that from time to time, because right now she is a draw, so don't be surprised. So I'm not going to go with the one character that she could just play this or she could play that. Sky's the limit, black woman. Sky's the limit. White characters, whatever. It doesn't matter. Powers that be say it's go, you just jump in there and you do it, go get your money. Halle Berry, as they say, still, regardless of what people say, remember she won that Oscar. What was it, Monsters Ball or whatever it was, where she was like, ooh, baby, feel good. She's still getting, according to Hollywood Insider, anywhere from 7 to 10 million per film at this given point. You know, and this one here, she's hot right now, so who knows what she'd be getting. So I'm not going to pigeonhole her with that. I'm not even going to put that out there in the universe. I want to see her do it all. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, once again, always giving our audience information. The blog is called The Mary Sue. Pardon me, themarysue.com. Again, it's connected to the mediaite.com news-oriented website. And the article in question is entitled, Which Superhero Should Oscar Winner Lupita Nyong'o Play? And it has a Photoshopped image of her at one of these award shows. It looks, how good Photoshop can be, authentic, but I do know it's Photoshop. It has her with the infamous mohawk that Aurora Monroe, a.k.a. Storm, has been depicted with in earlier Marvel Comics, earlier X-Men stories. And looking at her, I said, wow, that's really nothing to take away from Halle, but if we really want to be honest as to how she was drawn, this is Storm. If the only issue is, and the way it's going, Fox will not release the rights for X-Men, even if from their dead cold hands. It's never going to happen. But if there were going to be a Marvel version of the X-Men, I think this would be the direction they would go in. And she looks the part, and she's got the acting chops. So I just want to read this quickly. It says, Lupita Nyong'o is all anyone can talk about at the moment, and with good reason. She just took home an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, and lest we forget, there are several comic book movie actors who are also Oscar winners. Artist Mark Brooks took the initiative and photoshopped Nyong'o to have the fantastic mohawk Storm look, and he's not the only one thinking of casting the Academy Award winner in a comic book movie. On Tumblr, comic book fans have a few other intriguing ideas. Black Folks Making Comics has, which is another site you need to be aware of, Black Folks Making Comics has a nice comparison post up on Nyong'o and DC Comics Vixen, a.k.a. Mari Jiwi McCabe. God knows when Warner Brothers will actually decide to bring her character to life in live action, but we like the casting. On the other hand, Kelly Carey's, another site, Kelly Carey's, has taken Nyong'o's wonderfully colorful wardrobe choices and matched them up with Mini Lantern Corps from DC. And that gave me another thought, Nyong'o as Green Lantern Soranak Natu. She's red-skinned, but that would be, hey, we see that in Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, you know where I'm going with that. Makeup can do wonders. Darryl, what are your thoughts on this?
Vixen, Miranda Mercury, Monica Rambeau, just like Captain says, I don't want her to be typecast in any role, all right? In other words, the sky's the limit here, all right? We want it so bad, but we don't want it the person just tossed in the role, i.e. Halle Berry and Catwoman. We want it to be thought out. We want there to be a plan, all right? I'm getting very Battlestar Galactica here, all right? I want a plan, all right? I don't want this just thrown together. I don't want that she's hot to just throw her in it. No, 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 no. I want something successful. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, well, listen, the sky's the limit. Hopefully she will not be pigeonholed. This is a new era, one would believe. But at the same time, this is getting into an Afro Nerdic conversation, but one of our complaints is, this is the world where we also have the minstrels, the neo-minstrels. So, she exists, she coexists with pseudo celebrities, folks from Atlanta, the Real Housewives of Atlanta, and all these ancillary reality show, hip hop shows, and those quasi actresses. We see Nene Leakes is getting more accolades, more money, and she has an actual TV series, NBC TV series. So, who knows what can happen? Hopefully she will be categorized, this is again going to Lupita, she will be categorized correctly and not thrown in with the minstrels. I would sincerely doubt that. But the opportunity should be afforded to everybody of talent. But I want to segue into something else. Now, there's a great deal of discourse, and we spoke about this in last show, that the PETA, that so many folks, and this is more of an internal conversation, I'm seeing this at The Root. There's several articles at TheRoot.com, Henry Louis Gates, The Root. But they're applauding this young woman, but they keep on harping on her skin tone, how she triumphed and that she's a dark-skinned woman. And this is just lame to me. You know, this self-loathing, Captain. You know, one of the articles has photographed next to Paula Patton. And another lovely woman, I find her attractive. She has my name, actually. Janae Desmond Harris, fair-complected sister. I'm being tribal today. Woman of color. She's the one that's writing this article. And this kind of dovetails on what we spoke about last time, Captain. This is what the article is entitled. Again, Janae Desmond Harris. She says, "Lupita Spotlight, a reality check for light-skinned women?" She questions. Let me repeat that again. "Lupita Spotlight, a reality check for light-skinned women?" And you know what we spoke about last week? No. It's a reality check for black women, period. Mm-hmm. And underneath that, an asterisk for black people.
Mm-hmm.
But for her to make this into some kind of rivalry, this is light versus dark again, it's dumb. It's a waste of time. It bemoans and bespeaks of primitivism, which I detest. I don't think in these terms. I just don't. Now, I know some people do. Many black folks are invested in this. They have a vested thing. But for her to go there with this, that because of this woman getting all this accolade, but you know what it is? It's because she's getting white approval and being dark-skinned. She's looking at it from that perspective. Because when white people say you're beautiful, oh, then that's solid as a rock then. then it's true. See, I have studied the black man and white man. I've studied all races. I've studied human nature. And that's what she's saying. She's saying, well, because she's being positioned, she's getting all these accolades, they're using terms like princess. When have you seen the term princess being connected to a black woman in the public? We have a black woman in the White House, even as we speak, with black, lovely black children, black women, young women now, young women, her daughters, and they don't get the princess description or princess descriptor. Lupita gets it, and guess what, folks? She's dark skinned, and she's gotten it. The white public loves her, and she's dark. That makes black people scratch their head. Well, what's wrong with me? That's what's going on here. I'm going to read this quickly. From the Root, and I want everyone else to weigh in on this, and others can call in as well. It says, this is from the writer. The scene Sunday night, an Oscar watching party. The topic, of course, beautiful Lupita's fairy tale moment. So my friends and I naturally start tweeting and talking about what it all means. Fairly innocuous point. I told one of my friends that finally all these years after Dark Girls, which is, of course, you know, the documentary Dark Girls, and Good Hair, shouting out Chris Rock, and the explosion of the natural hair movement and Oprah talking about colorism, etc., with Lupita winning and everyone recognizing that she's gorgeous, not in a fetishizing way, but just gorgeous and black, people are finally getting to a place where a woman doesn't get extra points for being fair-skinned or having long hair or European features. One friend acquaintance who happens to fit that description, and yes, I was referring to her in my mind when I said it, became severely defensive. I can't remember her exact words, but she acted like I just stole something from her, personally offended her, or called her ugly. I did not. I simply celebrated the moment for what I saw from my perspective. The jig is up for light-complected women. See, this is what I don't like here. The jig is up for light-complected women getting a leg up over darker-hued sisters. How is it rude to point this out? What's wrong with being happy and about fairness? Now, oh, boy.
I was just going to jump in that I've said it before on the other show. I'll say it here for those who haven't listened. Many times we look at everybody else as to the root of our problems. This has been a long, long problem within our own community. And I will say this, and I'll be totally, totally dead serious as I say it, okay? Don't talk about racism with other groups when you have racism in ourselves. And you see it here. We are all black. This woman is black making this statement, all right? This was an achievement. She acted her ass off in this film. She was damn good. But the first thing you point out is how dark she is. This is where this is an embarrassment. It may be an intelligent point, but the problem is once you bring up her skin tone in relation with lighter black women, or even in the reverse when they were criticizing Halle Berry not too long ago, when they were criticizing Zoe Saldana not too long ago about that, instead of looking at it as an achievement we could be proud of, you see, they hate the sisters. Look, you see, they love the sisters. They won't accept. When will we get it through our heads that we succeed and fail together? All right? You don't hear white people saying, an Englishman going, nah, she looks too French. Nah, he looks too English. Nah, she looks too German. It's only within our own thing where we go, she's too light-skinned. Her hair is too straight. Oh, this. Oh, that. Like, and yet you get on the male side for acting like jerks and thugs. Look in the mirror much? Go ahead, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I couldn't say it any better than that, Daryl. This reminds me a little bit of Gabby Douglas.
Perfect example.
Gabby Douglas, gymnast extraordinaire, after 2012 Summer Olympics, winning the gold a number of different times, making history. She's in a physical event. Essentially in a gym situation. And they bypassed her accomplishment and talked about what's up with her hair. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at her performing, making history. I wasn't even thinking about it. I didn't think anything was especially weird about her hair. I understand that for those who are vaguely familiar with some kind of exercise or sporting event, you're not expected to have a stylist in tow while you're sweating and jumping through the air. That's just dumb. But these sisters, they completely bypassed all of that and expected to have her to have some erector set on her head. Now she does have an erector set on her head. God bless her. You know, she was forced into that. But we bypass the history to go back to something. And this is what's happening with this woman. We bypass what she's accomplished and what her career could mean. And we're going to make her, well, she's beautiful because really there's white media attention on her beauty. And now that is the definer. If white people perceive you to be beautiful, you're beautiful, unquestionably. So now we have to jump on in. The black community has to jump in and try to figure this out. And what I don't like is that this author is saying that light-skinned women, creating that dichotomy, light-skinned women have to be put on notice because of Lupita Nyong'o. I said last week, in a variant of that, no, black women have to be put on, and Catherine remembers, I said black women have to be put on notice because of Lupita, because she's herself, she doesn't have an Afro-Saxon toupee on her head, she doesn't have a Caucasian hair hat on her head, she's physically fit, she's got toned arms, flat stomach, she has an angular look, she's neat, she's got a Yale pedigree. That's what you do. Wash your behind. Make sure your teeth are white.
Oh, dear God.
Run around the block a few times. have a nice hairstyle, a nice, maybe conservative, classy demeanor, and guess what? They might give you the keys to the White House. Oh, pardon me. They might give you an Academy Award. Whatever. Barack Obama, perfect example. People were in shock because he went against the mean. Wow, this is a nice looking, articulate, clean, corporate looking black man that can speak. Let's give him the keys to the White House. We never saw that before. He went against the mean. Lupita goes against the mean. That's why she's working. That's all. It's not that complicated. All these black weirdos with problems are writing about like all this existential stuff and not getting to the root of the matter. What the captain says, can you compete? Can you compete? Can you compete? You're too busy putting glue on your forehead, ladies. That's what it is. Hit the gym, do a couple of squats, lay off the greasy foods. Get yourself, and this goes for black men too. You know, Rick Ross isn't exactly a physically fit man. Knock it off, Captain.
Here's the thing, you know. But let's say for a while now, black people have seemed to have a problem with their skin color and their hair. And I would say more so the women. I was born in West Jamaica, West Indies, and they have a big bleaching of the skin issue down there. Everyone's trying to get light skin, for what I don't know, because after when they bleach themselves, they look like the mannequin. They look stupid. Not only there, parts of Africa, too, to a lesser degree. Big in the West Indies.
It's pretty big over there, too, Captain. There's a not to cut you off, there's a controversy with a singer from Lupita's Kenya, and they've been going back and forth. Well, really, it's been a one-sided conversation because Lupita has that class.
Yes.
She's not responding.
Yes.
But that singer, you see the before and after pictures, she's a horror show. No comparison. Sorry, Cap.
So, now, we remember with Imus comments when he said the nappy-headed hoes comment. The nappy-headed hoes, the women were not so much concerned. Not all women, not all now. They weren't so much concerned with the hoes. And when I heard the comment, I thought that was the biggest thing. Women were coming out saying, he called us nappy, nappy, nappy. But a lot of them are nappy-headed. It's the reality of it. What was the big deal? You know, I thought the hoes was the biggest thing. You see, there goes the problem. There lies the problem right there. Hair and skin. And we also could remember the great lyricist who still raps to this day, Big Daddy Kane, when he came along in the 80s. People started to say, the dark-skinned man has arrived. So people started to say, the light-skinned man, it's over for you. Big Daddy Kane is here, the smooth operator with all the lyrics, suave, looking nice. So you see, we have these issues. And there's a reason for these issues, but I'm not going to get into that actually right now. This is deep-rooted and everything else. But you need to knock it off. That's just the bottom line. You need to knock it off at this given time. The handwriting is on the wall. Do what's necessary. Can you compete? Stop the foolishness. Can you compete? Take the Caucasian hair hat off your head, which really doesn't make sense because most men will say, regardless of race, they like long hair. Most men. Not all, but most men. For the hair to be natural. That's why it's a big deal. That's why being beautiful is a big deal, because not everybody's going to be beautiful. That's why having a slim waist and a big booty is a big deal, because not every woman is going to have that. You understand? So you don't necessarily want someone to come along putting glue on their head you know, and tracks and whatever else is going on up there, and you have this fake horse hair running off your head. Doesn't make sense. Now, if you have naturally long hair, then there you go. That's just the reality of it. You have to learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. The handwriting's on your wall. Handle your business. Can you compete? Can you compete? Stop bleaching your skin. West Indies, it's good. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. But stop bleaching your skin. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, something else, too. When I've seen photographs of Lupita with other black women, and you see Lupita with her angular features, everything's tight, clean, poised, classy. And then you have a reject from the reality shows or the Real House of the Real House of what I'm saying, the
Housewives.
Housewives, I'm saying, yeah, the Housewives of Atlanta. We have someone of that type next to her. Wow, this is Bozo. When did Bozo come in? I mean, it literally, if you really take a look back, not trying to insult anyone, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just being honest. When you see her being herself, physically fit, articulate, clean, angular, sharp, and then you see Bozo over here, it's like, it's an embarrassment. What she's really doing is she's embarrassing some of us. It's embarrassing. Because you see all these women that look somewhat reminiscent of a transgender woman. They have that look. And you are a biological woman, but you have all this going on, all this extra. It's not necessary. And the irony is, I spoke to Mr. Starks about this. The irony is, you would think on some level it would be controversial for the media to position her with a white boyfriend, but they're doing that. Now, what's that about? Now, I have no issue with it. I think I'm cool with it, actually, if that's, you know, if it's a more of a natural occurrence. Spawn wanting to make it a cute thing with her and Jared Leto. I have no qualms with that, but I just think that it's funny that the white man is going to see the beauty in this woman, and they're just going back to black men now. They're going to be black men that are not going to see her as a beautiful woman or beautiful based on their westernized, you know, viewpoints, westernized mind control, so to speak. So that is the irony, is that this woman is going to be positioned with a white boyfriend. I think she actually at present has a black boyfriend. But don't be shocked if the white boys are knocking on her door, and maybe rightfully so, because the black man, they're too busy for the erector sets. And that's the irony. That's the irony of culture in this country. That's what makes it crazy. All right, let's move to another topic off of Lupita for the moment. I just hope she gets if she gets to be in Black Panther or a reboot of the X-Men, that would be correct. It will be a good day. Let's go to a sports topic. This has been around for a couple of weeks. We never really addressed it. The NFL banning the N-word. I think, to be fair, it's really more of a ban on vulgar language, but the N-word seems to be at the top of the list. And it's a 15-yard penalty that they intend to implement for banning the N-word. And there are quite a few folks that just don't believe this. They think this is racist on the part of the NFL to implement this thing. I don't think it's racist. I don't see how they think. I mean, it's racist because they want you to stop degrading yourselves on the field, maybe. Maybe the field is a an allegory or an analogy or analogous to the corporate office. I mean, you know, people fail to realize that the NFL is a corporation, not unlike any other corporation. It just so happens that a lot of the business takes place on a football field. If this is a corporate center, maybe we should knock it off. But I'm more shameful of the fact that the corporation has to come down to tell you to knock it off. They're telling you to knock it off. What are your thoughts on this? Let's go to Daryl on this. You're a sports geek. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, in the beginning, it was just the N-word. They have amended it the last couple of days to, all offensive language. But my main problem with it in the beginning was that, we're going to just ban the N-word from being said on the field. No, you need to ban all derogatory language, all right? That includes the F word. That includes the C word. That includes, if you're going to do it for one, you do it for all. You ban it straight across the board, all right? I'm not saying no cursing on the field because it's a gladiator sport. You're going to reach into some of your more basic instincts on the field, so of course there'll be cursing. But when you direct it at somebody in a hateful, spiteful manner, with such as the N-word, such as the F-word, such as the S-word, you know, and I don't need to say it on air because I don't like saying those type words, okay? That was the negative I had with it, and the NFL backtracked because, of course, in a league where a team is named Redskins, we're going to ban the N-word. Hypocritical much? Anyway, all right? But what I found positive was the amount of players that supported the idea that made me think that, you know what, some of the NFL players are much more thoughtful than I give them credit for. Now, you're not simply going to just eradicate it with this rule. Okay, rule hasn't been put into law yet, okay? You're not going to simply eradicate it with this rule because you got to fight all grammar school, junior high school, college, all of this indoctrinating you with using this word all the time as a token of brotherhood. We're going to own it. You know, all of that. You got it all over hip hop. You now got it creeping into rock music. You got it. You got it in multimedia pursuits where you're inundated with this word. Where essentially the harmfulness and spitefulness of the word, according to the younger generation, well, you know, you guys are all living in the past. The harmful meaning of that word is gone. Go ahead and speak to a 60, 70-year-old black person about that. See how well that word still travels. Go ahead. Call him one of that on the street. I dare you. Afro nerd.
Well, listen, you know, you made some salient points, as always, Daryl, and I have to just add on that, is that the confusion that we and I've said this countless times on the show, the confusion that many black folk, not some, but let's say many black folks, the confusion that they seem to want to promote, or rather, the confusion that they would not want to own up to, that they refuse to own up to, that nigga, G-A, versus nigger, G-E-R, that debate. They'll sit there and say, many will say, well, that the G-A version of the word is different. It has a different meaning. It doesn't mean the same. Okay, if that's the case, then white folks should be able to use it. Oh, no. Okay, wait a minute. You just said it's different than the G-E-R word, and yet you don't want them to use that word, even when they use it amongst themselves, about themselves. When I spoke to Starks about this before, with the recent controversy with Madonna referring to her white son as, quote-unquote, hashtag that nigga, D-A-T-N-I-G-G-A. He was doing something goofy, or I think some photograph he took of her, she took of him, maybe in a boxing, some kind of boxing match, or some kind of physical exercise, in a prideful moment, actually, kind of a prideful thing. Look at this guy. Look at what he can do. That's essentially what she was saying. It was an Instagram, and it says hashtag this nigga. Okay. Black people got mad at her. We're calling her white son. This is a conversation. You would figure this would be some kind of wishful moment on the part of black folks that we've finally gotten to the point where white people consider themselves niggas. That's what you wanted, in theory. But you don't want them to use it to themselves and about themselves. So, and then you say it's a different word anyway. That murkiness and confusion is hellish out here. And no one wants to confront that. You can't have it both ways. You can't say it's a different word and that this white person wasn't calling you the word. He's calling another white person that word in an affectionate way, mind you. So to me, it's completely confusing. But I would say, and what the uncanny Daryl has just said, is that, you know what? Ban all vulgarity in a business setting, in a sports setting. Let's see if we can control our impulses. Can we control ourselves? Which is really a subject for another show, because there's too many people cross-racially that have impulse control problems. No control. So that's all I had to say about that. Your thoughts, Captain?
Well, here's the thing, all right? Now, we know the terminology, female dog, which is bitch, okay? That's what it is. They say this on TV from time to time and everything else. When it depends on the intent. That's what they say. Now, if I'm a middle linebacker and I'm coming on a blitz, center's right there, and I say to the center, look, you're going to be my bitch today, all day today. You my bitch. 10-yard, you know, penalty. Does it get murky? You see, it gets a little hard to enforce, you know. I'm just saying, as far as the enforcement. And then also, too, you could say it in a manner that the ref doesn't hear it. You know, so there's going to be exchanges going on regardless. But I understand what they're trying to do here at this given point. Now, here's the other thing. If you could totally get these players in the bubble where they're totally calm, you're not watching NFL football anymore. These men are actually controlled savages when they're on the field. And then what you get is some of them losing control. That's really what the modern-day game has turned into. It really is that. It really is that. So if you could totally get everything in the bubble, you'd be like, oh, what's going on here? This is not the same thing. This is not the same thing. It's not as exciting. You know? So all of that, you have to weigh into it. So definitely there does need to be some control to a certain extent. Definitely. But you also have to understand where you have to blur the lines. There's going to be a lot of problems with this as far as the enforcement. It's going to be rather interesting the way this breaks down, because there's ways you could slip past it. Get close to a person, you know, call them out. Ref will not hear that, you know. Things like that. You know, that's all.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes remaining. I just want to go into one more topic before we close shop. And I think, just to kind of close out on that, I think the initial reporting of this was the more accurate one. I think it was more about that specific word being used in such a ubiquitous way, where Daryl just said, well, they had to kind of clean it up to make it, okay, well, it's really a vulgarity in general. But no, it really was about that N-word being used, because it's used all over the place. It is so ubiquitous. In song, I'm forced to listen to some of this new hip-hop really for informational purposes only. And I'm really intrigued that it is exponentially far worse than it has ever been. As far as lyrical content, the lyrical ability is bereft. There's nothing there. And it might as well just be N-I-G-G-E-A. For if you were to see a lyric sheet, that would be it in every song. I mean, what is it? My Hittles, a.k.a. My Nigga, is a hit now? What's a Hittle, for Christ's sake? I think people are making references to Tom Hiddleston, believe it or not. I've seen that as a joke. I mean, whatever. Quickly, Annie is black now. And this is – people are angry about it. Some people are angry about it. It's kind of – you know, now, of course, Michael B. Jordan is kind of brought into this because of him playing Johnny Storm. But folks are saying she's not redheaded. You know, she's supposed to be a fair, porcelain-skinned girl with red hair. You know, listen, I told you, I'm in the middle on this. We've seen enough interpretations of Annie to make room for this. Annie's been around forever. I'm more concerned about when it's new – and we want the interpretation, I kind of want it to be close to the source. But when it's 50, 60, 70 years old, do what you want. We've seen it enough times. That's kind of where I see how I weigh in on some of this stuff. Daryl, Black Andy, your thoughts.
It's stage. It's theater. Excuse me. We've had black people play Shakespeare. All right? The ship sort of sailed. We've had black people in West Side Story on stage. We've had black people portray U.S. presidents not named Obama on stage. When it's theater, it's an open playing field. The guys and gals that are complaining about this, and I believe this to be mostly women doing this because they have more of an emotional attachment to Annie, all right? The ship has long sailed on this. The reason why is, guess what? There isn't many outside of Tyler Perry. There isn't too many avenues for black people on Broadway, whether they be kids or adults. All right? So you're going to get this. Deal with it. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, just quick before I give it, because we've got about less than 2 minutes. Everything, I'm in agreement with what you said. The bottom line is, and we said it before, this is our mantra, it's time to do our own thing. Create your own Annie. And maybe you might have to stop kind of colorizing some of this material. Do your own thing. Because that part, it's a thing now, I think, gentlemen, at this point. We can't always be the black version, because that is the oddity of it. Oh, wow, look at this. This is the black version of what's normally the white version. I mean, you know what? Have your own mythos. Do your own mythos. Get your own money because of your own mythos. Captain, got about a minute.
Do both. Wizard of Oz, then we have the Wiz. And we know the Wiz was incredible. So was Wizard of Oz. So do both. Create your own mythos. And some of these, you don't have to be involved with everything. You could blacken them up if you want. Or Latin them up if you want. Or Asian them up if you want. That's just what it is, you know? There you have it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
All right, folks, as always, we have an absolute pleasure. It's gangbusters to do this show. We will continue doing it as always and try to get some more guests on here as well. Daryl, thank you for weighing in on this Grindhouse mashup. Definitely require your voice on some of these issues. Folks, we're going to go out on another Nerdcore thing. This is Common, though. Common. This is the latter. Game of Thrones mixtape. See you on Wednesday.
The realm. Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agree to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie. But what do we have left once we abandon the lie? Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all. Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
The rain came upon us, we played the corners. Like Richard Sherman, the best, I'm still learning. Scriptures turning pages, pictures burning rages. Outrageous, the big world, the stage is set. Threats coming from different ages. Death is ages, life is dangerous. Change is the only thing guaranteed. I ain't afraid of the ops, cause I know they bleed. Just like us, in the seven kingdoms ain't nobody righteous. A massacre at the red wedding, a lifeless laid on the ground, now who wears the crown? A rope tied around by the power we bound. Sound the trumpets, I got soldiers by the hundreds. We all want it with our eyes on the summit. Chaos is a ladder and some fall from it. Some get tall from it, high like they all blunt it. But this the year that we do it with no fears. God in both ears saying be sincere. Some are laughing, some will be in tears. If this the end, let the games begin here. I think about it when I'm in my zone. My life is like a Game of Thrones. I sit and think when I'm in my zone. This life is like a Game of Thrones. I think about it when I'm in my zone. This life is like a Game of Thrones. I sit and think when I'm in my zone. This life is like a Game of Thrones.
Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail. Never get to try again. Fall breaks them. chance to climb, but they refuse. They cling to the realm, or the gods, or love. Illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is.